Thank you for tuning in to Highland Chapel Online. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm one of the pastors here at HC. We love being able to offer this resource, but please don't let it take the place of gathering with your local church. What a privilege it is to be known, to be seen, and to enjoy the fellowship of believers. But while you're here, we hope that God's word is encouraging to you and that you'll respond to His message. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pastor Nick. Church, are you excited? All right, yes, we got one. Like we had people say yes to Jesus and baptized. Praise the Lord. You heard about the capital campaign called Light the Way, which is going to be a phrase you're going to hear over and over and over again, because that money is not going to be raised overnight. So get used to hearing that, church. Hopefully that gets you excited about what God is going to do. And if your brain wasn't full of information already, I'm going to give you something else to think about. We're going to start a new sermon series today called Better Together. If you're a note taker, I want you to write that down. Better Together. We're starting this sermon series today in hopes that it makes sense with the capital campaign, because I believe what God wants us to accomplish cannot be accomplished without Holland Chapel being united around the same thing. Are you with me, church? Like, it's just not going to happen. We are better together. When we are united, when we have the same thought, we have the same heart, when we are pursuing the same thing, we are better together as a church. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Nehemiah. I want you to go to the book of Nehemiah. Going to be pressed for time today. If you are one of those people that just glaze over with history, like today is for you, because I'm not going to dive all in to the history of Nehemiah and what's going on, but I do want to give us a brief synopsis to get us to the point that we're going to talk about today. But better together. I want you to have that on your minds. Better together. The book of Nehemiah. Why are we using the book of Nehemiah? The book of Nehemiah is a wonderful book that we can learn so much about leadership from. Nehemiah was a great leader. I believe there are wonderful principles found in the book of Nehemiah to help us as we move forward, church. So in the book of Nehemiah, what's going on? What's the historical context? What's happening? To give you a little history lesson, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people under the rule of King David, they flourished. Man, they were living the high life. They had a great time. His leadership brought wonderful blessings passed on to King Solomon. It started well under King Solomon, but it didn't end all that well. The nation of Israel was split into two tribes at the time, the north and the south, and specifically the south. They were enslaved to the Babylonians for 70 or so years. It was a really horrible time for the people of God. If you know anything about the kingdom of Babylon, it was a horrible place, treacherous place. I believe it was King Cyrus at the time, for some reason, had a heart for the Israelites, and he set them free. So the Israelites return home to the promised land, to the nation of Israel. They go home to Jerusalem, and there they find their beloved city, like their hometown where they were raised, in ruins. So imagine if you were to go back home and it was unrecognizable. Like the nation was destroyed. No city walls, no gates, no temple, no nothing. They show up and their hearts are broken. And right then and there is where we pick up in the book of Nehemiah. So I want you to go to Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to read 1 through 11 as a church. It says, in late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hananiah, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah." They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this is Nehemiah, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed. If you got your Bible, I want you to underline that. Prayed. Mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, here's his prayer. O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you turn to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. So here we have it. Church, the news of the distress, the news of the disgrace, the news of the destroyed city has made its way to Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes at this time. He was in the palace all the time. He was a trusted person to the king at the time. And he receives word about what's happening back home. And the first thing he did, are you with me, church? The first thing that he did was pray. How often is that our default in life? I hope that it's your default. I hope that prayer is your knee-jerk reaction to anything in life. But what we see here in Nehemiah is that he gets bad news, and he's broken, he's busted up, and the first thing that he does is pray. Okay, so Luke, why are we reading this and with context of moving forward together as a church with this big project? Well, spoiler alert, God uses Nehemiah in a mighty way, church, to rebuild the city in miraculous fashion. Like, we're going to get there in a couple of weeks. But spoiler alert, like, God uses Nehemiah to do incredible things. And everything, if you're a note taker, it won't be on the screen, but I want you to write this down. Everything that we see here began with prayer, began with Nehemiah praying. So I want you to write that down. It all starts with prayer. Every movement that we see in the Word of God, Old or New Testament, every major movement of God, when he shows up and does something miraculous for his people, it always begins with his people praying to him. Have you prayed? Have you prayed, church? So what we see here in Nehemiah is that his heart is broken. He knows something drastic has to happen, and he prayed. Principle for us. I'm going to go over two things real quick, and then we're going to jump into this prayer, and we're going to break it down and see what we can learn from him. But two things that I'll make clear as we move on together this morning is that some of these principles, some of these points that we're going to look at in his prayer apply to you personally, okay? So I don't want you to leave here today and go, well, the only thing Pastor Luke talked about was the capital campaign and how this blesses the church, and I'm going home and I'm feeling empty. No, these principles that we're going to go over, these points that we're going to look at in his prayer apply to you as an individual. So if that's where you're at today, man, if you are desperately needing God to show up in your life, these points are for you. But here we go. Here as a church, as Holland Chapel, like, man, we are staring down a major project, and we really need God. Amen? Like, we really need him. So we're going to look at what this incredible leader did, how he prayed, and maybe we should mimic that as a church to see if God won't show up for us like he did for the people of Israel. Are you with me? So it applies to you personally, but it also applies to us as a church. So we have his prayer. Hopefully you've written down that everything begins with prayer. It starts with the people of God approaching God in prayer. So what made his opening prayer so profound? How did this great leader pray? The first thing that I want you to write down is he prayed this way. He recognized the greatness of God. He recognized the greatness of God. In verse 5, he addressed him as great and awesome God. We see this same model in Christ's prayer. Hallowed be your name. He approached God saying to him, you are awesome. I really wish the English language had a better word than awesome. Like, awesome is what you described that steak you had Friday night, right? Like, I really wish, like, that we could translate and we would have a better word in our dictionary to describe God. Because it's awesome, it's a great word, but church, I'm gonna be real with you, I feel like it falls short, amen? Like, I really do. And so as he's praying to God, he recognizes who God is. Do you recognize who God is in your life? Do you recognize him? Holland Chapel. Do we recognize who God is in the life of our church? Like, have we really recognized, can I say it this way, his awesomeness? Thank you. Do we recognize him that way? The first thing that Nehemiah does is he humbles himself and he says, God, you are great and you are awesome. You see, when we do this, when we recognize God for who he is, and how great and awesome he really is, whatever circumstance you're staring down as an individual or whatever circumstance we're staring down as a church, it puts it all into perspective. What do I mean by that? When we recognize how great he is, our problems seem really, really small. When we recognize who he is, it puts everything into proper perspective and we go, you know what? You really are awesome. You really are over it all. Like, you really are the one that has everything in control. Not me, not Holland Chapel, not you as an individual. Like, it's God that has everything in control. And this great leader whose heart was broken comes out of the gate and says, God, you're awesome. So do you recognize how awesome God really is? Psalm 8, 3 and 4 says, when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. I need to remind us this morning that the God of heaven cares for you, that the God of heaven is over your life. That the God of heaven, how great and awesome is he, the one that created the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe, everything that exists is over you and Holland Chapel. Does that fill your heart with hope, church? It does mine. Will we recognize who he is as a great and awesome God in our prayer and in the life of our church? The next thing that we see in his prayer that's so profound is that he confessed his failures. He confessed his sin. So if you're a note taker, I want you to write that down. Confess failures. But maybe underneath it, you need to write, confess your weaknesses. Confess your weaknesses. In verse 6, Nehemiah says, I've messed up. My family's messed up. The nation of Israel has messed up. Like, we're all weak. And we really need you. Like, I am a weak, frail human being. Can you relate to Nehemiah? Will you be so honest with God in heaven? Will you confess your sins? We know what Scripture says, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what, church? Forgive us our sins. Confess your weaknesses to him. What about us as a church? I hope we're not a heretical church because that would come back on me. I hope we're not. I don't think we have a pile of sins to bring forth to God. I really hope that we're a church that honors the holy word of God, and we do everything in our power to honor him in everything that we do. But we can, as a church, approach him, confess individual sins and possible failures. Listen, this is going to be a long project. And at times, we may lose sight of the one that's in control. And I pray when that time comes, we'll confess, church, that we'll say, God, we've lost our way. Because it's bound to happen. We're humans, right? But that we would own up to it and say, we're weak and we need your help. That we would approach him all the time. But anyway, as we begin this project, we need to flat out say, God, this cannot happen without you. It cannot happen. We are weak, flawed, frail people. Last night, we were coming in from the Deer Woods. Anybody shocked by that? And I had my oldest in the truck, and we had just scared a bunch of deer, and our hearts were broken. And we were driving back home, and I really don't know how the conversation began. She's in the fourth grade, and she's really processing all this stuff. She hears me talk about it, and she says, Dad, how in the world are we going to pay for that new church? Like, how are we going to do that? So it opened up a wonderful teaching opportunity. But if I was to be real with you, my fourth grader was not the only one in the truck that has posed that question. Have you asked that question? How are we going to do this? How is this going to happen? We're staring at all those zeros. How is that going to happen? You're staring at that situation in your life going, how is this going to resolve? How is this going to get better? It happens when we recognize that we're weak and we can't do it without him. In my weakness, Paul says, I am made what, church? Strong. In our failures, God shows up and moves, and we need him to move. So it is all right for us as a church to approach the throne of God and say, we cannot do it on our own. If left up to Holland Chapel, we'll fail. Amen. Left up to God, we'll succeed. Amen. That's what he wants. He wants his church. He wants you to approach him and go, we cannot do it. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Does that passage fill you with hope this morning, church? God is with you. God is with us as a church. And in our weaknesses, in our sins, in our failures, he will sustain us. He'll hold us up, and we need him desperately, Holland Chapel. We need him. The third thing that we see in this wonderful leader's prayer is that he focused on the promises of God. In verse 8, he says, please remember what you told Moses. Is Nehemiah trying to make God remember, church? No, this is a literary technique. This is what he's saying. He says, remember what you told Moses. Why is he saying that? So that Nehemiah will remember what God told Moses. God doesn't forget. He knew exactly the promise that he told Moses. In this moment, Nehemiah, the leader in his prayer, was trying to fill his spirit with confidence, remembering what God told Moses. Do you ever have to be reminded of what God has done? I do, like all the time. Am I alone in that? You went blank on me. Do you have to be reminded about what God has done in your life? How often? Every day for me. I'm a worrier. And when I worry, I lose sight of the one that's in control. And in my worry, oftentimes I have to look back and see what God has done. And when we look back and see what God has done, it fills our life with hope that he's going to continue to be good. Let me share a quick story with you. This goes all the way back to when my wife and I just got married. We were living in an apartment, and we probably got married a little young, before life had really sorted its way out. But I just really had to marry her, church. I did. So she was in the master's program at UCA getting her occupational therapy degree, and I was a student pastor at a church, and we were broke. Can I just say it like that? I mean, college student, student pastor, are you seeing the despair we were in? Do I need to make it any more clear than that? We were broke, had great families, but we were at a point where books had to be bought for school. Any parents bought books for kids in college? It's ridiculous. I was like, man, I don't know, honey. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess I'm going to resort to stealing. I don't know. Because I'm not going to ask for help. Anybody know the feeling? Well, one day, she goes down to the mailboxes at the apartment complex. And she comes back up, and she has this envelope, and she opens the envelope, and it's 800 and some odd dollars from a cattle auction. Come again? And I said, sweetheart, what's going on? She was like, oh, my parents sold one of my cows. You can laugh. I was like, what are you talking about? She was like, yeah, I got cows. And like when my dad sells them, I get the money for them. Praise the Lord for a dead cow. I said, you're going to hold this information from me? Well, I forgot. I forgot that I had all these cows. That's how we got our wedding paid for. There goes Minnie. There goes Sammy. You know, right? Like just chip, chip, wedding dress, cake, killing all the cows. But in the moment, I was like, how's this going to happen? Dad sold one of my cows. So inadvertently, we had great families. But God provided. God provided. Silly story. It was big for us. But we need to be reminded, personally, when we look back in our lives and see how God has shown up time and time and time again, it should fill your life with confident hope that he's going to keep doing it, church. But also in the life of our church, almost 80 years that God has upheld and kept this precious local New Testament church called Holland Chapel. He's kept it. And Pastor Nick's been here for like half of it. That's funny. Love you, buddy. God has kept us, church. But I'll be real with you. When we look at the future, when we look at this great task that we have ahead of us, I get a little worried. Can I admit that to you? But then I'm reminded, God's been so good. He's held this church for so long. And we can submit to you as pastors that we feel so confident and assured that this is where God wants us to go. And if God's leading, if we are in his will, check it out. He'll provide every single time. He'll be good. He'll be good. He may have to kill some cows, a lot of cows, but he's going to make it. He's going to make it happen. Philippians 4, verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Listen, the application for that passage is far-reaching, but the storehouses of my Father never run dry. And God will provide. He'll provide for you as an individual, and he'll provide for this church that we call Holland Chapel. Listen, we are better together. We are better together when we pray together. In just a moment, I'm going to close us in prayer. I'm going to have Pastor Keaton, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Weiss to come up here. And what I want to do in that moment is I want us as a church to experience this opportunity to pray together for what God has for us in the future. You see, if you missed the family meeting where we all came together and said, this is what we're going to do, then you've missed an opportunity to pray together with your church. You've missed that opportunity. So what we want to do, just as Nehemiah started his journey with prayer, I want us as a church to start our journey with prayer. Can we do that, Holland Chapel? So, when I pray and I get done, go ahead and stand up. We'll go ahead and stand up right now. I'm going to pray. Dr. Weiss is going to come up here. But here's what I want to do. I want these aisles to be full of people. I want you as a church to come down front together as a church. We're better together when we pray together. I want us to move symbolic, to come together as a church to pray over Light the Way, to pray over what God has for us, to beg God to continue to be good to Holland Chapel. Can we do that, church? You may be a guest here watching people get baptized, but listen, this church means something to you if that person came to faith in Christ here at Holland Chapel. So we would welcome you to come down and pray for God to move. So let me pray, and then church, I'm going to need you to move. I'm going to need you to come up here and pray. Can we do that? Can we do it? Let me pray. God, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it brings. Thank you for the book of Nehemiah and the incredible leadership that that man showed. Thank you for the prayer that he prayed. Be with us as individuals as we seek a movement of you in our own life. And God, be with us as a church as we seek a movement in our life. Thank you for being good. We ask everything in Jesus' name.